again, a restatement of his philosophic viewpoint of the world and his philosophic viewpoint of the Jewish people. His imagery, his rhyme, his meter. I mean, the poem, it is the poem of Jewish literature. The poem. If one had to choose one poem, and we're talking about, for instance, we're going to speak in a few minutes, I'm going to speak to you about Reb Yehuda Halevi, who is famous as the poet of the Jewish people, etc. He may be the poet of the Jewish people, but the poem of the Jewish people is Kesar Malchus. There is no poem that holds a candle to it. You can get Kesar Malchus. I mean, it's published. Most of the Rav Kook published it in a small volume with notes and commentary. And the whole book, I think, is about 100 pages, or maybe even less than 100 pages. But it's a remarkable, remarkable poem. And if you look at it stanza by stanza and work on it, you'll see what lies in it. It's an enormous accomplishment. And it expresses, as no other poem, the essence of the soul of the Jewish people and the essence of the soul of humanity. I just want to describe to you, I'm not a poet, and I don't even think I have a poetic soul, but I find a great deal of comfort in the poem. The poem, to a certain extent, was written for rabbis because it has a description of all of the foibles of human beings and how, if God doesn't take it too seriously, then we shouldn't either. But he describes there how he intends to appear before God for judgment. And he describes how he sets up his army, his defense. Orachti es chayolai, I have established my battle front, I've put my soldiers, I have the strategy all planned. And then he describes how when he comes closer to the day of judgment, he realizes that he can't rely on this soldier and this strategy may not work. In other words, he realizes the weaknesses of man. And the end is that he comes before God without anything, right? His army is dispersed, his weapons have fallen, his courage is gone, which is the true essence of man. The true essence of man is that we're a big knocker, as long as it's going, right? But when your finger hurts, so it doesn't take much, right? You have very little to say. And psychologically, if you have to analyze yourself, if you have to look at yourself hard in the mirror, that's not an easy thing to do. And one who is stripped of all defenses and illusions sees a different picture of himself. Now, this poem, Kesar Malchus, it's a masterpiece over all masterpieces. And unfortunately, it does not have the wide popularity that it should have. Among the Sfardim, as I mentioned, they say at the night of Yom Kippur, and there are many that commit it to memory. And they know the poem by heart. But knowing the poem by heart, or even knowing its words, does not really mean that you know the poem. Because lying within the poem are enormous things. The breadth of knowledge of all of Talmud and the Medrash and Jewish thought and philosophy, and in one line how he takes care of Aristotle and he takes care of the church and he takes care of the Mohammedans and how he describes life and the things that happen to us in life and the frustration and the futility of death and the questions of Eov. It's just an enormous, enormous accomplishment, the most towering accomplishment that exists in the realm of Hebrew literature, of Hebrew poetry. That's Kesar Malchus. And all later Jewish poets borrowed from him. They borrowed style, they borrowed rhyme, and they borrowed ideas. It would be impossible not to borrow from him, because he is lahavdil. He is to Hebrew literature, so to speak, what let's say Chaucer is to English literature. It's the basis, or Shakespeare. It's the basis.